Welcome to the Carve a Monster Hunter podcast, where you can bone up on hunting monsters, episode 121. I'm your host, SBJ.
And I'm Micah. ASMR Micah.
Nighttime Micah.
Nighttime Micah, back in the mix.
And we're here to talk about Monster Hunter. Got a couple things for you guys today. Although, a couple things, but I don't know if it adds up to be a particularly long episode. We're in that time frame where we're kind of waiting for things to happen. You would think the announcement of Rajang would hold a lot of water, but easy come, easy go.
Well, I mean, you know, there's only so much that can be said about introducing a new monster.
One new monster. We're going to talk about some pendants, and we're also going to just bring up real quick. I don't know. Well, before we get to that, we talked about pendants last week, and some of you all, that's the expression going around, might not have noticed that pendants got it added or what they do. Spoiler, they do nothing, but there are multiple ones in the game. And
they look cool, though.
They look cool. And they are another thing to accessorize your gear, which is deep down what we all know Monster Hunter is about. Looking good.
Yeah.
And petting poogies.
Exactly.
Is I'm pretty sure what the series is known for. But before we get to that, I don't know how much weight this has, but the PlayStation blog gave Monster Hunter World Iceborne editor's choice.
That's a high honor. What do you mean? You don't know how much weight it holds?
Yes. Do you think that, like, being on editor's choice moves more copies?
I think that maybe there are some people who are hardcore PlayStation fans that maybe have not dove into it. But can I speak frankly?
Yes. And then
there's something a little weird to me about the concept of the platform that you have exclusivity for a lot of things with picking you as their editor's choice award.
I don't see anyone. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, I'm sure that this is a completely unbiased decision.
I mean, to be fair, Iceborne's good.
It is. You are correct.
Here's what I was thinking about this week, and this kind of ties into this PlayStation blog picking Iceborne. Do you remember reading Rainbow?
Yes.
Boy, you weren't expecting to be hit with this question.
No,
tonight.
I'm waiting for the rationalization for this.
So do you think, like, when Reading Rainbow was, I mean, I guess maybe Reading Rainbow is still a thing. I actually don't know.
I believe it came back to Netflix, maybe? I know that they did a Kickstarter a while back.
Okay.
To reboot it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was, I know it was successful. I don't know if it's officially returned. That was in 2014, it looks like.
Sure.
And the...
Oh,
105,000 people pledged $5.4 million.
That's a long time ago.
The website's still available, though, readingrainbow.org.
Okay. So, in Reading Rainbow, do I have to explain what Reading Rainbow is? I don't know how our age of the audience.
I would assume that a lot of people are aware of it.
Okay.
Give it the elevator pitch.
So, Reading Rainbow was to encourage people to read more, of course, and to I don't know if they were in the deep pockets of the library.
Yeah, but big library.
To encourage people to go to the library and check out books. But I was thinking this past week, because I was thinking about other things, including Monster Hunter, but some other things. But do you think that books, do you think when somebody was like making a book, like Chicka Chicka Boom Boom,
so, like, children's books specifically?
Or? Yeah, or, you know, like Tom Sawyer or something. Although that book probably was many years prior to Reading Rainbow existing. But do you think the author... Let's just go back to Chicka Chicka Boom Boom, because it I'm sure Monster Hunter pulled plenty of inspiration from this book. Do you think that, like, when the author was making that book, they were like, man, I love Reading Rainbow, but I really would love if my book was featured on Reading Rainbow because it would sell more copies? Like, that had to be a thing, right?
Oh,
like,
I'm sure. I'm sure that there were some background deals that went down to
to ensure
boost.
That your book was featured. Because I would assume, just like video games, there are hundreds of games that come out a month. Did you know this statistic? I read this the other day. I read it on the internet, so it had to be true. But there are 500... there are 500 iOS games that come out every single day in the App Store.
That's honestly horrifying.
So I would assume back in the day when the great technology of the book was invented and Reading Rainbow featured said books.
You know, when Reading Rainbow was around and books were invented.
I would assume that 100... I was told that 500 books a day was hitting libraries. And they were desperate to be featured on Reading Rainbow.
Yeah, correct.
So what I'm saying is, this is a high honor to be featured on the PlayStation blog.
This is a really roundabout way.
This is the best content I think our show has ever provided, really.
Do you think here's the thing, though. It's not like this was a book that was... I'm trying to rationalize this.
Are we talking about Chicka Chicka Boom Boom, or are we talking about a hypothetical book?
A hypothetical book called Iceborne.
Okay, sure, sure.
I think the issue here is that there's already a very public, like, the fact that we don't know if books were being funding undisclosed amounts to Reading Rainbow behind the scenes, but we know that there is PlayStation exclusivity, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's nothing new to pretty much anyone. They get a lot of the events prior to other things. They get events that other platforms just don't get. So I feel like there's a little bit of a difference in that there's already an established relationship. And it's like if you worked in an office with your wife, right? And you were the boss. I'm actually taking this out of an episode of The Office.
Oh, I thought this was like a personal, and then I was more invested.
So if you worked in an office and you were the boss, and you had to give out an award, and your wife, who also worked there, happened to be the best performing salesman at the job, and you had to give the award to her.
Okay.
There would probably be a few people in that office that would be pretty upset at what that looks like.
Sure.
So it's like PlayStation is the boss, and Monster Hunter is the wife, and they just awarded their wife
employee
of the year.
So the real question then, husband and wife working together.
Yeah. I've been down that road.
Who is the kid getting red chicka chicka boom boom? Will there be enough room?
The lowest level employees, which is us.
Okay. We're the child.
Yeah, we're the
reporting
child.
Reporting on mom and
thank
dad.
Thank you, PlayStation, for reading a book to us that was written by our mom. Perfect. And telling us it's the best book of the year.
That, you know, I think we got something out of that.
We did. We got there eventually. Really proud of the journalism that we just put forth.
You know what they say? You put a microphone in front of you, you become a professional.
That's right. I'm feeling pretty professional right now.
Pendants, Micah.
Yeah.
They are cosmetic accessories of your weapons, for your weapons, of your weapons.
Of your weapons?
Sure.
Are they, though? I mean, I guess they can be.
That were introduced to Monster Hunter World Iceborne. They serve no purpose except customization and are unlocked by progressing through Master Rank assignments, Master Rank optional quests, and leveling in the Guiding Lands. As I said before, the Gilding Lands. But I didn't mess up this time.
The Gilding Lands.
So I have one pendant. I actually don't remember where I got it. But now I want all of them.
Yeah.
Because they're cool. So we're going to go through a couple of these, make it real easy for you guys to just think next time you're hunting something, you'd be like, oh, if I do this extra step, I can get a pendant. And some of these are real basic. So there are, there's a bronze hunter symbol that you can get for hunting your first T1 tempered monster. And you're thinking, well, if there's a bronze, there's probably a silver and a gold. There are. Very easy. Silver pendant. Silver hunter symbol pendant. That's not confusing at all. Is from a T2 tempered monster. And then the gold is from a T3. Easy.
Yeah. Pretty easy. Pretty straightforward.
There are a couple crystals. These actually glow different colors, so you might want a specific color depending on what gear you use. For example, there is an emerald, like a yellow, a sun, which is an emerald is green, I guess. Verdant is like a yellow, sun is an orange, dusk is like Odogaron puked up a color. Morganite is a pink, celestite is a blue. Katrine is a yellow, and there's a diamond crystal, which is a white, so these things hang off your weapons, and they glow. All of these colorful ones can be formed in the, or can be acquired in the Guiding Lands. They do require different things, or different locations. For example, the sun crystal, you're going to get in Wildspire Lit Waste, whereas the diamond crystal,
the
you're gonna
wild spire area of the Guiding Lands specifically.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Which is a weird thing, but that's the Guiding Lands.
And then, like, the diamond you're gonna get from the Guiding Lands in the Rotten area. And there's some other things you have to collect for those. So multiple, those are a little bit more complicated. You have to collect parts like you would be forming some gear.
They're all kind of, like, color-wise representative of the area that they're from, though.
Yes.
Which makes sense, I think. I don't necessarily know about this deep blue in the Coral Highlands, but or the Coral Highlands area, but the pink makes sense. The
or the lack of water, maybe.
Oh sure, maybe. The brown and the yellow, or red and yellow, dusk. I don't know, dusk color. Definitely makes sense for the Wildspire area and the green and light green.
Greenish
makes sense
yellow.
For the forest, of course.
If you are able to defeat Ruiner Nirgigante, you will get a silver sigil scarf. White color, by the way. And there are some other scarves, red, yellow, blue, pink, green, gray, brown. You're gonna get the red one for completing Iceborne's story. So if you're listening to this podcast, you probably already have one that under your pendants. But you're gonna have to work a little bit for the yellow, blue, pink, etc. You're gonna need for all of these a conqueror seal, and then you're either gonna need like some flood sacks or some lightning sacks or some deadly poison sacks, depending on which color. You probably probably line up which equals what color. Lightning sack's gonna get you that yellow scarf, flood sack the blue, deadly poison the brown. I guess that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, cryo sack is gray, I guess. Makes sense. It's like, you know, icy gray. They're very neat. I definitely like the sigil scarves, I think. Scarves, sorry.
I like the scarves a lot.
More than the crystals. The crystals kind of just look like...
They look like your Firefly thing, but smaller and not as cool.
Yeah, they look a little sharp. They remind me of those light fixtures in the Destiny, those area. I forget the name of those
Moon?
Creatures. Yeah, what's the race called? Fallen?
The Thrall? The Hive.
The Hive, that's it. They look like Hive lamps.
Got it.
But like different colors. They're kind of, you know, sharp and crystal, and they look, I don't know, intimidating a little bit,
yeah.
I guess. They also kind of look like crystals that you would buy in like a coffee shop in Northern California.
That's very specific.
That's made by like a mom.
Sure.
Sorry if I offended any moms who make their own crystals.
In Northern California. At a
put
coffee
their
shop.
Energy out into the world via those crystals. Yeah, I don't really like them as much as the scarves. I feel like there's a lot color-wise that you can do with the scarves to make, to accentuate your gear, layered or not. Probably layered, because that's clearly the superior option at this point.
Now, the last three are bronze guild medal, silver guild medal, and gold guild medal. I don't know if anyone listening are still helping their friends get to the story, or just helping people that you know get to your area. Obviously, Monster Hunter, at least in my perspective, has always been like very... Everyone's always been very helpful to like help other people, and it always seems like people are willing to do a hunt even if they don't need to do it, just because it's like, why not? I'll probably eventually use more Rathian pieces one day.
One day.
But this might, if you can't do this now, or maybe you don't have anyone to play with, you might want to save these for maybe Christmas or Black Friday when people get more copies of the game. But for the bronze guild medal, so you can hang off your dual blades or your long sword, you need to join and complete 10 quests posted by hunters of a lower rank. So the lower rank hunter has to post the quest, not you. So if they have to be lower rank than you. So if you're master rank, you can either help high rank or low rank. And if you are high rank, you can still get this by helping low rank. And so for bronze, you need to do 10 quests. Again, they have to post the quest, not you. Silver is 30, and gold is a whopping 60. So I think out of all of these, gold is really... I mean, these are so small, I don't know if other people will be able to see them unless they're really looking for them, but...
The other two, the silver and the gold, are actually a little bit... So the bronze is doing my best audio description here, is like a red tassel. They actually posted this recently on the Monster Hunter Twitter with a little bronze emblem and a greenish stone in the middle. And then the silver has a feather hang, a blue, it's silver instead of bronze, obviously, and it has a blue feather hanging off of it. And the gold is gold, obviously, and has three feathers hanging off of it. So it is, the silver and gold are much more noticeable, I think, just from looking at the screenshots that people have posted of theirs. They're definitely more noticeable. The gold is absolutely more noticeable.
Okay.
Because of the like orange feathers. And it looks neat. I mean, I definitely feel like I would be able to see that pretty. I mean, if we're like running and not actually hunting, because I feel like I don't really notice a ton of people's gear when we're hunting together, like actively hunting, and I notice it more either in guild hall or if we're at camp or whatever, or if they're stopping to sharpen their weapon or whatever. But when we're hunting a monster, it's kind of hard to I'm usually not focusing on the gear that the other people I'm with have, but it's definitely just like neat, like a neat flex, I guess.
Oh yeah, well, in a game about gear, you gotta flex. That's why
gotta flex.
That's why when you come to my room in Monster Hunter, I'm flexing that $17 I spent. Come on by, see all the money I spent to make my room look good.
I'm definitely interested in tackling some of these, though.
Yeah,
and I feel like it would. Here's a tip. I feel like this probably works. Maybe it doesn't, but I don't see why it wouldn't. Actually, I'm getting confirmation here from Twitter, scrolling through the replies, that it does work. Maybe instead of just like waiting for people, if it's something that you really want to get and you don't really just want to wait around for people.
60 is a lot.
60 is a lot. What you could probably do is just go look for SOSs for low rank or high rank, depending on who you are and what your hunter level is. and join those SOS quests. Help somebody else out who needs help completing a quest or grinding for something that they're trying to get and is doing it in lower high rank.
Okay, sure.
And just do that a handful of times and you'll probably grind them out in no time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's probably what I'll do. I mean, I don't think there's really that many people as far as our community goes, or like PlayStation 4 community goes, that aren't in Iceborne at this point. There were a couple people when the game came out that I did help get to Iceborne. But at this point, I don't think there are many that need the assistance. So
no, but you know,
like when SOS is kind of the
Christmas comes around or Black Friday, like I said, you might have like actual friends you can help if you don't want to play with random people.
That's true. Maybe by that point, I can convince Becky to move off of Final Fantasy for a little bit, play some Monster Hunter with me. I'll get her that sweet Black Friday deal.
Those are two different games. One is way slower paced than the other.
gotta get those things somehow. Gotta get those
So you get your wife to play.
Yeah,
you can
just
carry
like
her.
Get my pendant.
You can get the easy pendant. I see.
Yeah, and then when I have the pendant, I'm like, all right, good luck.
All right, see you later. I'm going to drop you off at this monster called Rajang. Good luck.
Enjoy.
If you're able to beat it, I'll cook you dinner for tonight.
I don't know how many. I guess we'd have to count like the quests, the story quests through World and Iceborne, but I don't know that that's even enough.
No,
to
I don't
get to 60.
I don't think so either.
I don't think it is. But it's something, you know.
Yeah,
puts a good dent in it.
sure does. well, I think that's all the like new stuff we have today. We have a new game plan going forward. This might be some bad news for some people. We're going to change for the first time. How long have we been doing this show? 120 episodes? That's like
120 episodes is almost, it's over 2 years.
Is it? How many? No, there's 55 weeks. Oh, yeah, you're right. It is over 2 years.
52 weeks in a year.
Basic math right here.
52 weeks in a year.
We've been doing the car for over 2 years, obviously, because we love Monster Hunter. I think if you've listened to at least 20 minutes of our podcast, you know, we're not pro players. We're just very avid Monster Hunter lovers.
Big fans.
Me more so for the Poogies. With the holiday coming out and a whole bunch of new games coming out, it seems that Monster Hunter, especially in the news department, has very much slowed down. And obviously that's going to pick up probably in January with the 15th anniversary of Monster Hunter. With the PC release, we know there's going to be a big update in January. We already know the roadmap for the rest of this year, which is nothing for November unless you really like Horizon Zero Dawn crossovers. and a little bit of stuff in December. So for the rest of the year, what we are going to do is we are going to do one podcast for the month, so one podcast, one episode in November, and one episode in December, and then we will come back in January and reevaluate to see if we can provide quality content every week, or maybe, you know, maybe we just ultimately move to a bi-weekly episode, but I felt like this episode was great. I felt like we had some laughs, we were informative. There's only you could argue like do Monster of the Week or something, which we tried, but it really felt like we were just reading off a wiki, which I don't want the show to come to. I when we talked about what we wanted to do for the show, we wanted it to be like, you know, friends sitting and talking about Monster Hunter, right?
Right.
Reading off a wiki or. And we obviously, we like, no secret here, we read a news article, and then we talked about it. And for some reason, we brought up Reading Rainbow today. But I think in retrospect, it was fun and enjoyable. And I guess, like, I want to make content I would want to listen to.
Same. I like when I feel like while we're recording that it's something that people will enjoy, rather than feeling like I'm sitting down with you just reading off a list and saying, we did it.
We did. We hit our 30-minute
another
quota.
Another one in the books.
See you next week. But and,
which
and,
I don't think I've ever felt that way, to be clear. I'm just saying that if I think this is a good kind of stopgap to make sure that we don't get to that point. And even then, at that point, there's not really much news-wise, which we, again, like you've said, we've always kind of historically been a news and experience podcast, but news-wise, it's significantly slowed down, and I don't think that's a secret to really anybody that has paid attention, I guess. But to anybody that hasn't paid attention, the news for Monster Hunter has significantly slowed down. And we still enjoy doing the show, but I think it's also a combination of, for full disclosure, for clarity's sake, it's not just that the news is slow for Monster Hunter, it's that we have not been able to dedicate as much time as we would like to experiencing Monster Hunter at the pace that we probably realistically should. I know that for several weeks now, we've said that we haven't had time, or we were able to squeeze in a little bit of gameplay, and I don't think it's anything against us to say, like, well, why haven't you finished the game yet or whatever? And the reality is just that, like you said before, we're Monster Hunter hobbyists. We're not Monster Hunter professionals. We enjoy the games and we love the games, and we do love Iceborne a lot. It's just that this point in time is, for some reason or another, very busy for us. You, as a full-time Pokemon content creator, there's a new game coming out that is a very big deal currently, and I am at a point where I've had to, in my business as a freelance artist, have had to work a lot harder and hustle a lot more, and it just... Those things combined with the fact that there's not a ton of news doesn't really make up for a ton of really cohesive and consistent content. And that's just kind of the reality of it. But we still love doing it. And that's why I think we would prefer to move to a monthly thing until January rather than not do anything. And on the flip side, maybe do something every week, but not have anything really to offer, because it doesn't really, I don't want to feel like we're just phoning it in, or we're scraping for things, or, you know, we're not providing content that values your time and our time. You know, I don't want to feel like we're wasting anybody's time by having them sit down for a half hour of us not having any news or experience for the week, because we've just either been too busy or there hasn't been any news, or, you know, whatever the situation happens to be.
Ultimately, it's Capcom's fault for releasing a game in September and not in the slow periods of, like, January, February, March.
Well, let's be real here. The first quarter of next year is already looking pretty disgusting as far as game releases go, so I think maybe they dodged a bullet.
Hey, where was this game in June? Yeah, so
it's true. What's up with summer releases?
Yeah, didn't they give us Mario? No, that wasn't even this year, was it? Maybe that was last year.
What, Odyssey?
No, Mario Tennis.
Oh. What?
Yeah, that was the hit game, Mario Tennis.
I'm taken aback.
I think that was a summer game. I want to say it was.
I don't think that was this year, A. And B, it might have been a summer game, but I don't think anybody was really going hog ham on the Mario Tennis.
So yeah, I mean, obviously, we still have a community of people playing. If you want to join the community, you're more than welcome to. If you are listening, if you made it to the end of this episode, I mean, obviously, you somewhat care about the show if you dedicated 30-some minutes in, but I would imagine, and there's nothing wrong with it, a bunch of players stepping away from Monster Hunter for a little bit of time, especially because there are so many new games coming out. November is historically and always been a very game-heavy month with new releases, not including Pokemon, but I think as of recording this, the new Call of Duty is coming out. And I'm not saying any of our anyone who lists, who knows? I mean, maybe half the people who listen play Call of Duty, or maybe one person who listens play Call of Duty, but
really unsure about that crossover in audiences.
I can't wait. Really, what I'm saying is I'm confirming right now the Monster Hunter Call of Duty crossover. I believe that they just call that the Monster Hunter movie, actually.
Yeah, correct.
Just put a put a vest on a character and hand him a machine gun, and there you
hit
go.
Hit the nail on the head with that one.
But there will be seasonal events and stuff. So the one episode for November, and then the one episode for December should talk about all that stuff. I think we haven't thought that far ahead because we spent so much time talking about what we wanted to do going forward into this holiday. But I think we just have to sit down and look at a calendar and figure out, let's not put the November episode out the day before a seasonal event happens.
Right. Or, you know, time it properly so that maybe, like you and I have already talked about, discussing whatever deals happen to be going on for Black Friday, which I think is always a good thing to cover for people because that gets more people into it. But it's all just proper timing, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's,
but that gives us the ability, this little, you know, it kind of slowdown in content gives us the ability to put more effort and more quality into those monthly episodes until, you know, we're ready to kick it back up again.
Feels weird. We haven't missed an episode for 2+ years.
And to be honest, just to, you know, all that aside, I personally, I know we always say we're this and we're that and so on, but personally, me as Micah, I want to say for anybody that's listening, thank you so much for listening to this every week. And thank you for listening for almost 2.5 years. I didn't even know until you asked how long we've been doing it. It didn't even click with me that we've been doing this for 2.5 years, and that's unreal to me. I just don't.
It's a long time.
That's incredible. It doesn't feel like it's been 2.5 years. It feels like it's been maybe like a year and a half. But it's been 2.5 years. That's unreal.
I read it on the internet, so it has to be true. 50% of podcasts don't even make it to 10 episodes.
50%. We're in the other 50%.
We're in the other 50.
But truly, honestly, thank you all for listening for 2.5 years. And I'm saying this like we're like it's over. It's not, but you know, it's 2.5 years of
okay,
every week.
Okay.
This is kinda...
We'll finally unveil what's happening. Micah and I are both applying at the local library, unfortunately. We just won't have time to do the show because we'll be scanning books.
We'll be too busy being librarians. We both have to get glasses now. That's how that works, right?
That's it. Yeah, so we'll leave you guys there. We were talking about doing an episode next week, but I honestly don't think Capcom's going to drip feed us anything here. So we will see you guys in November. And then we will, of course, see you guys in December, and then we will be back in January. So expect one episode next month, and then one episode in December. So, and of course, you can always tweet at us. Perfect transition into @CarvePodcast on Twitter, @MicahTheBrave on for Micah, MicaTheBrave. And then I am @DraggingALake on Twitter, DragingAlake. And that is that.
That's it. We done did it.
Till next time, hunters, keep on hunting those monsters.
And keep on carving those monsters. I had to really drag that one out because I wanted to put some oomph in it, but my wife is sleeping in the other room, so I can't really. So I put some ASMR oomph into it.
Thanks for listening to The Carve. Quick shout out to our Life Powder supporters who support at way too much money a month, but thank you. Shout out to Alex, Brandon, Chris, Jonathan, Kenley, and Laventine. I definitely probably butchered one of those names. It's up to you to figure out which one it was. I'm just kidding. Thanks for listening. If you want to support the podcast, you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/carvepodcast. If you made it to the end of this part, just thanks for listening. You don't have to do anything, but just know that you're appreciated. Thank you.